As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yes, the sun is arising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to the Thursday, April the 9th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. You can visit my little websites, www.vocallocal.org and the Ozarks Property Rights Congress website, the ozarksvoter.info, a couple of sites that have some information there you might find interesting. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news of sorts, hard facts, and definitely that. Workable solutions? Well, we'll have to see. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local, because we're all trying to find a little bit of happiness in this mixed up, upside down, topsy-turvy world that we find ourselves living in. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. And we're going to get into a little bit of that philosophical radicalism today. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game here. And to be part of the broadcast, all you need to do is sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone and call now. For those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, you can call 512-904-8014 and join me live on air. You can also take Oracle with you on the road by calling in at 512-904-8014. Follow the information on there, and you can listen, I think, on your mobile or your cell phone as well. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. That's Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Big shout out to Micro 1650 AM picking up the broadcast this morning, and our friend in Owensville doing likewise. We talked about micros yesterday. I think it's so important that we expand the outreach of this network and get as many micros up as possible. We talked about the numbers, the dollars, and the cents of that yesterday, and I know that it will be a barrier for some, but perhaps we can, through a more of a cooperative process, find more money for people that are interested and capable and willing to put up micros where they are, and we can get this message being spread all across America. We are the media, if we'll but take the ground. Anyway, gold strives today to regain the $890 range. Wall Street is observing their holy days. I'm sure they're all just worshiping mammon, but nevertheless, we'll go into a few little bit of that in the market reports. The pressure groups, public relations, and public opinion, that's where we're going to go today. Most of our talk and discussion will be in that area for the entire broadcast. Again, pressure groups, public relations, and public opinion. Of course, we'll take your calls and much more. Let's go into those market reports as my tongue comes around and into service. Thursday, April the 9th, 2009, active trading New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading down $4.20 at $875.80. Silver was off 10 cents to $12.16. Platinum, the big winner, watch this one, watch platinum. Platinum is starting to move around a bit, and it's taking some good-sized jumps. Up today, $24 as well, $1,199. Palladium, up $4. That's a large move for palladium, $235 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday up 47.55 points. We'll pick it up on the other side right there. Stay with us.
the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Thursday, April the 9th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That is oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. We started into the little bit of the market news this morning in the prior segment. Let's finish that out right here. Again, gold is trading down $4.20 at $875.80 an ounce. It's really having a hard go of it, trying to creep back up to the $890 range. We can say gold is down 420, or we can say it's up 420, looking at it like that on a day-to-day basis. But actually, we're down considerably from the great hysterical $1,000 mark, where things were looking like we were starting to come to reason. But, of course, it was pressed down and pressed down very hard. So, and we've talked about all of that. There was very little news in the finances today. Looked all over the web, couldn't find anything worth repeating. Looked like a regurgitorium to me. So we're going to pass on all of that financial news. But let's close it out here. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday up 47.55 points, trading at 7,837. The NASDAQ was up 29, trading at 1,590, almost 91. The USDX today so far down 10 basis points at 85.21. Crude oil up $1.77 a barrel, trading at $51.15. The lows and the highs in the spot market. This is the gold spot market for today so far in active trading. $873.90 for a low, $887.70 for a high. So we're looking at about a $14 spread there overall year to year. We're looking at, we're down about $58.60 from where we were 1 year ago on the price of gold spot, which is a 6.27% decline. So you can see that there's a lot of effort to keep the price down. All of the various, the president's working group on financial markets and all the rest of the people that are in there shoving and pushing, and doing everything they can basically to discredit gold, as a true indicator of wealth, if you will, and keep the idea that the various and sundry dollar-denominated assets have value. Of course, those that listen to this network know that that's just not quite the case. It's a puff and smoke program. It's all smoke and mirrors, if you will. Look at the foreign exchange rates. Why do we look at the foreign exchange rates on a regular basis? Largely because now, as we talk about special drawing rights, but of course, those of you that have been listening to this broadcast, you know that the SPDR is the special drawing rights. Nothing new about that. Go right back to the foundation of the International Monetary Fund, right after Bretton Woods. That language has been in existence for a long time, but they just pull it out from time to time, fluff it up, put a little lipstick on it, and say, "Look, aha, brand new." Well, not the case. Don't be deceived. But when we think about the baskets of currencies, and again, go right back to the International Monetary Fund, go right back to the Bank for International Settlements out of Basel, or whatever you want to look at it, in Switzerland, go back to look at this idea of a basket of currencies. Well, that's what we've been doing all along, ever since Bretton Woods. So anyway, let's look at our basket of currencies that are close into us. The Canadian dollar today moved up just a little bit. It's running about 82 cents. These are all, if you follow these rates, and again, I'm nobody's guru. I'll tell you right where I get my material. I get it off of either www.kitco.com or www.bloomberg.com. And those are just two places where you can get information on a regular basis throughout the day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, so that you're not dependent upon some financial guru or Wizard of Oz to let you know what's happening in the market. If you have 10 ounces of silver, you're in this market. If you have 1 ounce of gold, you're in this market. You need to be paying attention. And so those are just two places that I go to start the day every day, right around 5 o'clock in the morning, now that I'm doing the morning broadcast. Nevertheless, what are we looking at these... Oh, why did I mention that? I mentioned that because if we're following this basket of currencies, this basket of currencies, then we need to understand that I'm only tracking certain indicators. I'm looking at the Canadian dollar, the Mexican peso, the euro, and the British pound. But if you go to the website, www.kitco.com, and scroll all the way down to the home on the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a large chart that shows all kinds of currencies all over the world. These are those baskets of currencies. I don't know whether this is the G20. In fact, now that I've thought of it, I'm going to have to look and see. Maybe what they're showing us there on that website is the G20. There's about 20 listings. So it may be. Nevertheless, if you look on that chart, and as I'm looking at the chart that I make daily, and I encourage you to do this, I encourage you to keep a chart. When I give this information out in the morning, either go to the website and keep a chart of your own, or just listen and follow along. I always give it the same way: gold, silver, platinum, palladium, Dow Jones, NASDAQ, USDX, crude, the low, the high, and the various four currencies. That's a chart that I have that fits on a little miniature legal pad that I use. I've been doing this for years, and that way I can go back because I've written it down. They're not lost. They're not away from you. You can go back day to day, year to year, and find out what was happening at a specific point in a specific time when certain news events came up. And look and see how things influence this market. We're going to be talking about law and public opinion, the story of law, pressure groups, and public relations today. And so there are things that drive these markets that are beyond our control. You know, we're the bid actors in this one. We're the gaff hook guys, you know. Anyway, if you'll notice on that chart that what we're talking about here are minuscule moves, you have 4 points after the decimal that actually bring these foreign exchange rates up and down. And we talked about foreign exchange and what the importance of that is. Let's go through them here. Canadian dollar, 82 cents today. Mexican peso, 8 cents. Now, it's been 7 cents for a while, but it's moving up. It went up 1.66% today. That's a pretty good move for the peso, 8 cents. It's a penny now, rounded up higher. The euro, $1.33. The British pound, $1.47. And both of those indicators are also up just a little teeny bit today. So anyway, as I stated, I looked at the various market news and whatnot, and as I said, kind of a regurgitorium. I swear these guys have got two files in their cabinet. Every time that gold goes up, they use one kind of language. Every time gold goes down, they use another kind of language, and then they look around and see whether someone farted in the stock pit, and they use that as their excuse for some kind of irrational exuberance or dismay. It's almost brain dead. So I'm rapidly losing interest in reporting this stuff, but I will. I'll keep following it. And when there is something of value, something that has to do with this, the SPDR Gold Trust, any of the big exchange-traded funds, anything happening, breaking in gold in India, anything happening in Dubai, we'll report on that. But the day-to-day stuff is just pablum, and I think you're more intelligent than that. We needn't waste airtime on it. Let's go into this. And go back to this textbook. Again, I'm using political science textbook, and I'm using that for a specific reason. Most people have no exposure to any of this material, and largely because they don't have any interest in it, and that's why they've never looked there. And because they haven't looked there, they don't know that it's interesting, and I hope to make it interesting for you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we have returned once again. So let's go back into this again. Now, on this broadcast, I read from books. I've got lots of books in my library. Very little of my research is done on the internet. I know there's a lot of valuable information on the net, but I like to go through these books. I've got so many of them in my library that there's no end to the things that we can talk about. But we try and pull things out of the library and onto the air that are pertinent to what's happening now. So this is a book. This is a textbook. This is a college textbook, a college textbook that I picked up at a flea market for pennies that somebody probably spent quite a bit for. As a matter of fact, let's see if I can make it out. Yeah, here it is. There's a price tag on here for $8.95 from the Illini Union Bookstore, and this book was published in 1971, so I can only assume that the bookstore sold this book for $8.95 as a textbook in about 1971, perhaps 72. So today, I don't know what they would charge for it. It's huge, probably $50 or more. So, you know, the way the price of school books goes up. But this is a college textbook, and it's titled The Politics of American Democracy, and I can't stand that, but I'm, you know, hey, let's use it. Fifth edition. And it was written by Marion Irish and James Prothrow, and again, it was published in 1970, but it had earlier editions. And what I've noticed in these books that I collect is that there's very minor changes made, unless you can find in either an introduction or a foreword or something like that, where they talk about major revisions having happened. And so this was originally published in 59, then again in 62, 65, 68, 1971. And so this is exactly the time period when I was finishing up my school and going into college courses. And so this book I could consider it contemporary with me at the time that I was entering college. And so this could be very well a book had I studied social sciences, had I gone into political science, which I didn't, this would have been a book that was available to me. And I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that where I was coming from when I got out of high school, I was in no way, shape, or form prepared to be able to dissect a textbook like this the way that I'm going to do it on the air. It's almost unbearable to think that this would make up a college-level course. But there's good information in it, and then there's spurious information in it, and we can look in there and see what is what, and try and do a good job. But at the same time, also understand the tumultuous time at which this book was published. If we start in 1959 and bring it forward into 1971, we embrace the free speech movement, we go through the Beats to the Beatniks to the Beat Era and all that, into the anti-war protest movements, segregation issues, Martin Luther King, and all of that rot, Berkeley, California, the students in Berkeley going back and forth between California and Alabama in the summertime on buses and in carloads of them, participating in these demonstrations and things like that, shootings that went on, Kent State, the demonstrations that were going on, the fire hosing, the police dogs, everything you could ever imagine was happening at that time period. It was exhilarating. It was exciting. And no, we didn't have 15 people turn up outside of a Federal Reserve, bank someplace with a bullhorn and placards. You know, we had 10,000 people show up for rallies on a regular basis. It was almost a weekend thing. If you weren't going to the rallies on the weekend, you just weren't with it, you know, basically. So anyway, there was a lot happening back then, and much was being taught that would shape what became known as the neocons. And this is part of this foundation, the problem that we're dealing with right now. You know, we talk about the insane children and adolescents running the government. Well, this is where the stuff was being generated. We were in a period of transformation. We were changing from an old world order to a new world order, if you will. The baby boomer children were coming into college at this time period. And so a lot of the professors did not like the free speech movement. They didn't like the direction that texts and courses were going. A lot of the writers didn't like it. And a lot of people just said, well, that's it for me. I'm out of it. I'm going into the private sector. I'm going to stop teaching and I'm going to start doing something else. And they did. And many of them wound up in these think tanks and other places. So, long story. Lots of stuff. But let's go into this because it's so important to understand the power of pressure groups and public relations as they shape law, legislation, and the course of events of a people. So, I'm going to review just a little bit of what we talked about the day before yesterday. For those that have been following this broadcast, and for those that haven't, well, then this won't be review. It'll still be new for you. Starting out in Chapter 7, Pressure Groups and Public Relations. Because one of the goals of democracy is widely shared political power, and because complete equality is never achieved, social scientists have engaged in lively, often acrimonious debate over the question, who governs? Who does govern in society? Who does govern? And why do they govern? And this idea here, one of the goals of democracy, again being written in the between the 50s and the 70s, one of the goals of democracy, we know other goals of democracy. The idea of social democracy was coming in to vogue. It had been introduced earlier in the 30s, but it, after the creation of the United Nations, after the Versailles Treaty and the creation of the United Nations, the socialists had to hide behind a new mask. The communists that were all throughout our whole governmental structure, Acheson and all the rest of them, these guys, they were hiding behind this new phrase, democracy, social democracy. It's basically just code at the time for socialism. And when we go around the world spreading democracy, what we're doing is advancing the socialist agenda globally. Important to understand that. And we can verify that going right back to Fast Bullets and Culture Changes from Hillman and read his book. And I can show you right there quotes, and I've done it on the air, quotes where this concept of social democracy was being sewn in. And where it became important in the educational system to start teaching about democracy. And then again, when we studied political parties, and we'll continue to study that sort of stuff, the whole purpose, virtually the sole purpose of political parties is to move their players into the proximity of, if not actually into full possession of, power. Power is the bottom line on politics. Power. Gaining control of governments through the division of the people along party lines so that you can have simple and clear majorities and that you can focus the debate. As Carroll Quigley said in his book, giving the people the false idea that they can throw the rascals out every 2 or 4 years. It's one of the primary reasons, well, not one of the primary reasons, but certainly one of the reasons why I am all in favor of the abolition of the established two-party political system. In the system of government that we have, a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, we don't need the parties. In fact, the parties do us harm. We can do just fine with representatives, and that's different, much different. Yesterday, we visited with Sam Britton, and we find that he's an alderman there in the town of Owensville. Once again, we're dealing with a representative of the people. If the people will but seek him out, they can have their voices heard in the hall of power, so to speak. Anyway, big question, always the big question is, who governs? There are three theories, or more properly, schools of thought, have attempted or have developed this, and we'll pick those three schools up right after this break. Stay with us.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of Cutting Edge Talk Radio.
Howdy, my name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, and we have returned once again, and the listener call-in number is 866-841-1065 if you'd like to join in the conversation here today. I'm talking about pressure groups and public relations, kind of getting things laid out a little bit. I'd like to spend a couple of days on this, so just follow along, and then, of course, there's always the archives, and if I get over your head, just go back and listen a few times. I like to think of this broadcast as quite a bit like a homeschool classroom, if you will, for those that really need to know this information. If you were to try and go to school and buy it in a curriculum, you wouldn't get it. The chances are, unless you probably went to the best of the best or a private school, you surely wouldn't get this information. You wouldn't get this information the way that I'm laying it out for you. But I try and be as credible as I can and share with you the very sources. Rather than just advancing my opinions, you know, I put plenty of them in. But nevertheless, those opinions are based upon reading all of these various texts. And so hopefully you'll be able to get the most out of it. But again, as we were going into the break, we're talking about the question of who governs. And in this very first paragraph, in the first sentence of this chapter in a textbook, it's a college textbook, it starts off and it says, because one of the goals of democracy is widely shared political power. It tells you a lot right there. And because complete equality is never achieved, complete equality, we've talked about that. We talked about equalities of opportunity and equalities of outcome under the collectivist model. It continues and says social scientists have engaged in a lively and often acrimonious, in other words, they bicker between each other, debate over the question of who governs. Who governs? And so let's go right here. As I mentioned, I looked for it during the break. Reinventing Government, Fast Bullets and Culture Changes, a special report from the Murchison Chair of Free Enterprise. This is a book that was put together by Robert Hillman, Bob Hillman. I met Bob down at the Freedom 21 conference in Dallas last summer. And here on page 56 of his book, we talk a little bit about this idea of salting in this idea of democracy. At present, quoting from the book, at present, UN officials are concentrating on teaching American children democracy as the first step towards making them enthusiastic supporters of the new order. Are you with me? Following directly on the heels of the Edwards revelations came a Tribune story, this one on UN efforts to change what children would be taught in school. This is the beginning of this, the grain or the kernel of this movement toward the free speech movement. I spent time in Berkeley, California, on the campus. I used to distribute the Berkeley Barb kind of clandestinely, which is a local newspaper. At the time of Hippy Dippy Weatherman. I understand a little bit about this stuff. Most of the folks that I was dealing with in these various groups, were communists and socialists and very radical in their leaning. But anyway, in the 1920s when William Hale Thompson, again back to the book here, first revealed that children were being indoctrinated in their classrooms on the benefits of globalization, the Tribune said nothing. Now, however, it also began to object to this kind of activity. In the article, quote, UN, New Order Propaganda to Begin at the Cradle, close quote, written by Walter Trohan, it is stated, quote, at present, UN officials are concentrating on teaching American children democracy as the first step toward making them enthusiastic supporters of the new order, the 1920s, while the same program of education is to be used in several other countries, it has not been asked for by Russia, close quote. And Hillman writes, this is probably because, as Vice President Henry Wallace noted in his speech at the Madison Square Garden, this is where the program came from. He then detailed how special books were being prepared for use in the schools and that publications were being prepared for adults as well. As part of this program, children were to learn about a new set of heroes, international heroes, who were responsible for creating the United Nations. And among these heroic figures were Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Joseph Stalin, V.M. Molotov, Cordell Hull, Winston Churchill, Sumner Wells, Eleanor Roosevelt, and Edward R. Stettinus, Jr. Anyway, thanks, Bob, for writing this little book. I'd love to get him to come on, but he has stage fright, won't come on there with me. But he brought along a big bunch of research and showed me the actual photocopies of much of the material that this book was created from, and his research, in my opinion, is impeccable and highly unique. So I'd love to have him come on the air with us, but he is, like I said, a little bit shy. Nevertheless, dropping back to our textbook, we can see that this idea of democracy is being salted into not just children here, but young adults. These are people that are going into college. Probably in the third year of college, they would start their studies of political science if that was going to be their degree. Who governs? That's the big question. Three theories, or more properly, schools of thought have been developed in the attempt to answer this question. They could be roughly labeled as log rolling, group or pluralistic, and power elite explanations of the policy process. So there's these three different ways of looking at it, three different arguments, three different theories. So if we get hung up on the idea of elite, oligarchy, aristocracy, we're only looking at one third of the picture. There are other things happening that are actually gaining and striving for and grasping for power. We should be aware of all of them. The log-rolling interpretation sees policy as the product of a decentralized bargaining process. Do we know anything about decentralized bargaining? In which the relationship among the pressure groups is one of mutual non-interference. So when we look at labor, for instance, and we look at the masons and the carpenters and the pipe fitters, the plumbers, the steam fitters, the welders, the iron workers, and all of the various unions, they have mutual non-interference agreements. In other words, the welders aren't going to interfere when the carpenters and the laborers unions strike, because the metal workers, the iron workers, the welders and all that, they depend on the carpenters and the laborers in order to have a project where they got anything to weld. They can't do iron work without the carpenters. You can't do iron work without the laborers. Somebody has to form the concrete boxes, build the boxes. Then you've got the concrete guys, another union, the finishers. But all of these various groups, you've got to have some concrete on the ground with some bolts sticking out of it before the iron workers can come in and erect the steel, etc. So there's mutual non-interference. And we see the same sorts of things between other groups, pressure groups, like the American Bar Association and the American Medical Association. The American Medical Association is just, you know, peeing on themselves, waiting for this socialized health care, because it's going to be a boondoggle for them, and they know it. And the lawyers are going to make plenty in this as well. And so it's mutual non-interference. Lots involved in this. Education works the same way. You've got the teachers' union, then you've got the administrators' union, then you've got the government employees, and the whole thing is all against we the people. The consumers lose out in these things. But even attorneys, even doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs, they too are consumers. So it's kind of a group grope, mutual non-interference. Going back to the textbook here, the participants do not share common interests, and the process is not one of compromise. Here's a quote. Given interests whose objectives are intrinsically of mutual indifference, collaboration for support of the whole demands of each can be readily effected. Some see this rolling together of different interests as adding up to an expression of majority needs, but it's more generally viewed as biased in favor of narrower special interests. Of course, we hear all the time about special interest groups. Special interest groups. Group theory, this is the second avenue here, group theory, or the pluralistic model, and I use that often, pluralism, it goes all the way back to like Harold J. Lasky and others. The guy is a socialist that brought this in. Harold Lasky was a super socialist, but boy, I'll tell you what, he's not a dummy. His writing is very convincing and very well reasoned. He's an excellent rhetorical writer, a rhetorician, maybe that's right, a logician for sure. Very clever fellow. I enjoy reading Harold Lasky, but I know what he is and the end game that he's advancing. Continuing here, group theory, or the pluralistic model, was the dominant interpretation of political scientists during the last two decades. When was this book written? In the 1971s was the last edition, so anywhere from 51 to 71 could be the last two decades, according to this author. Well, there's the break. We'll pick it up on the other side. Hope you're getting something out of this. We will return.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now,
Go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And we've returned. We have returned once again. So we're going into this pressure groups and public relations and deeper and deeper and deeper into this maze and matrix, because if you go in and you watch the television or you read the news or we get out and about, we become vocal, local, even the idea of the Campaign for Liberty, Texas Trans-Texas Corridor, Gun Owners of America, National Rifle Association, World Wildlife Federation, the Sierra Club, all of these, you know, you've got your local Republican Party Club, your Democratic Party Club, your Libertarian groups, you've got your, you know, Constitution Party groups, you've got your Masons, you've got your Mormons, you've got, you know, my word, God, folks. We're overwhelmed with this, but it's clever. It's by design. It's by design. It's a way of going, doing an end run around constitutional governments. It's a way of doing end runs around traditional forms of government. It's very clever. And it works exceedingly well. It keeps us all divided. Go back, if you have a Bible in the house, read Matthew 12, I think it is, right around there, 12 and 24, I believe. We're a house divided. Cannot stand a kingdom divided against itself shall surely fall. That's just the little Bible on Passover, today being Passover. One of the reasons why there's almost no activity in the markets is because all of the high priests of finance are observing their high holy days. We'll pick up the markets again on Monday, perhaps. But nevertheless, these groups are important, and understanding the group dynamics are important. We can use these groups, just as others are using these groups, to our own advantage, to advance liberty and freedom in this 21st century, if we but understand how they work and can use them to our own advantage. So, again, continuing, group theory, or the pluralistic model, was the dominant interpretation of political scientists during the last two decades. That would be the 50s to the 70s. Actually, it starts earlier than that, and it's still happening. But in group theory, mutual non-interference is replaced by conflict among groups, each with a different set of quote-unquote shared attitudes. Majority coalitions must be created on each issue, and many individuals and groups fail to apply their potential resources in the coalition-building effort. As a result, the system contains considerable slack. And so you've got, on one hand, let's say, I'll just name a name, Ted Pike, for instance. You've heard him many times on the radio, and he's out against the ADL, and he's against the homosexuals, all right? And then on the other side, and I don't know any of the spokespersons for that group, but on the other side, you have the lesbians and the homosexuals. And so you've got these two groups, and they're at war with each other on the sidewalks. Some people have, what, I don't know, pink shields, and the other ones are holding up their Bible and Bible tracts. And they're going at each other, tooth and nail, same-sex marriage, transsexualism, and all of that. And they're going against each other, you know, vigorously, vociferously, and picking up news coverage. But at the same time, the hate speech advantage, the synthesis, is being advanced. And so it's very effective to use these groups for your own agenda, if you will. And that's one of the reasons why all of this group theory, this pluralistic model, was created, financed, and funded from the top originally. So let's understand that. Thus, he says here, power is highly decentralized, fluid, and situational. There's no single elite, but a multi-centered system in which the centers exist in a conflict and bargaining relation to each other. A conflict and bargaining relation to each other. The power elite explanation, this is the third one, does not deny the importance of pressure groups, but it does deny that power is decentralized. The distribution of power is viewed as inherently hierarchical, and those at the top of the pyramid, notice the use of the word, those at the top of the pyramid, particularly those in the highest industrial, military, and political positions, and this is review now, you've heard this twice from me, all this is a reversal of the words. These authors, I'm sure, understood what Eisenhower was talking about when he said in his farewell address, beware of the military-industrial complex. All they've done here is reverse the words and said industrial, military, and political positions. That's all it is, wordplay. And it is those highest, distribution of power is viewed as inherently hierarchical, and those at the top of the pyramid, putting the cap on the pyramid, particularly those in the highest industrial, military, and political positions, make all the key decisions. Now, who are those that are at the highest industrial, military, and political positions? Of course, they're corporations. But in addition to that, you also have the Department of Defense. You've got the Cabinet and the State Department. And then you've got all of the various people who have come, like Geithner, from the Captains of Finance and Industry. He takes a sabbatical from his position on Wall Street, and he comes into government for a period of time to exercise power, the power of government, in tandem with the force of finance and corporations to advance an agenda. Okay, so this is the power elite structure. Their resources are overwhelmingly greater than those of the, and they say it right out here in this textbook, their resources are overwhelmingly greater than those of the lower hyphen status people. And the theory assumes that power resources are applied without slack. In other words, it's interminable. It just continues and it continues and it continues. Occupants of these command post positions, listen carefully, are recruited and socialized so as to reduce basic conflicts among them. Now, if you recall, we read from this book twice now. I gave you the one section that I thought was so important to understand in that. Let me see if I can just flip to it. Maybe I've got it. No, let's see. Maybe it's right there. Nope. Usually I leave my bookmarks in, but I've taken them out. But in this textbook, we find that no one is a human being unless they're politically socialized. Until they become so politically socialized, they're just animals, just as you'd find in the dictionary definition out of the old Ballantine's dictionary. The people are just animals. They're human beings are animals. Well, if you've been politically socialized, then you become a human being. And in this particular case, you've been socialized. Occupants of these quote-unquote command post positions are recruited and socialized. You see where Barry the usurper may have been recruited and socialized so as to reduce basic conflicts among them. Notice that there's precious little conflict between Nancy Pelosi, Jorge Bush, and Barry the usurper, or Geithner, and Bernanke, or Volcker, etc. They're recruited and socialized. It's like dog training. Policy can thus be settled by informal, gentlemanly accord without the formal trappings of debates and votes. Group conflict and coalition building does occur, but only on issues that are not fundamental and among people at the quote-unquote middle levels of power. So at the top of this power pyramid, this power structure, you have these people in the key positions, in the industrial, military, and political positions, and they're making the decisions then for all the rest. But you have these log rollers, this mutual non-interference between, let's say, the AMA and the American Bar Association, or the various trade unions. And then you've got the pluralistic system, which makes total advantage of all of the various groups. And all three of these are working simultaneously. So again, rather than saying, oh, the elite, the aristocracy, and locking in on that concept, we need to be very careful that we don't lock out these other two aspects because they're part of the system as well. The importance of pressure groups in politics. Which of these interpretations of the importance of pressure groups in American politics is the most valid? And as we're going to find, all three. But it takes them a while, the authors, to develop that. But let us postpone an answer until we've looked at the nature and the function of pressure groups and at the nature of the group struggle in politics. Well, we'll pick it up on the other side, folks. It looks like we're coming into the end of this first hour, and we'll be back to pick up the second hour. I hope you've enjoyed the first. Stay with us for the second.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
History will always remember those strong voices. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Thursday, April the 9th, 2009, Passover, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we begin to start the second hour. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. In the first hour, we talked briefly about the markets and the importance of following that. Then we dive right into this idea of pressure groups and public relations. And in this hour, we'll continue along that way. We may pick up a little bit of the wisdom of A.V. Dicey and John Maxey Zane, the story of law. If we have time, we'll go wherever this will go with us. But we're working directly out of text. I'm reading and discussing various parts and pieces of these books. These are important books, things that we could and perhaps should be aware of or ought to be aware of, and hopefully it will be a benefit to all. So if you don't understand what I'm talking about, bear with. Many years has gone into all of this study, and I'm trying desperately to bring out some of the salient points that have shaped the system that we're in today. We have many news hounds here on Oracle that correctly diagnose and analyze the day-to-day news affairs, and I'll leave that domain to them because they're good at it, experts, young and brilliant, fresh, hot. I kind of try and look at things from a more philosophically radical standpoint. What are the underpinnings, as Doug Owen once said, I think we were on Oracle Unplugged together, talking about the backstory of what's happening, laying down the foundation, a solid foundation in some of these writings that help us to understand the mind of the beast, if you will. So, anyway, that's where we're going. Let's go back into it a little bit further, make every moment count. Continuing here, the nature and the functions of pressure groups. Pressure groups have much in common with political parties and even with official decision-making agencies such as the United States Congress. Now, when was the last time that you ever considered the United States Congress as a decision-making agency? And notice the use of the word agency. When we went into this concept of it, the fourth branch of government, administrative branch of government. It's an unofficial, it's an end run around constitutionally limited republican government. But we went into this concept of administration and now we have all of these agencies. FEMA is an agency, etc. These agencies. Pressure groups have much in common with political parties and even with official decision-making agencies such as the United States Congress. Now, it's both houses. When you say Congress, you're talking about the House of Representatives and the Senate. All fall, that means all of them, pressure groups, political parties, Congress, all fall within the general meaning of, quote-unquote, political interest group, if we accept David Truman's definition of that concept as a, quote, a shared attitude group that makes certain claims upon other groups in the society by acting through or upon any of the institutions of government, close quote. It's a shared attitude group that makes certain claims upon other groups in the society. And when Congress passes legislation that impacts, let's say, you go back to this HR2, the tobacco people, anybody that rolls their own cigarettes, because we are an exceedingly small minority in the country, we get to carry the burden of a $24.78 per pound tax to finance the S-CHIP program, which is nothing more than a children's, socialized children's health program, health insurance program. So we'll pick that up on the other side and keep right on going. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned right here on the Thursday, April the 9th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We're going into the second hour here. And before we go back to our text, pressure groups and public relations and all that rot, let's bring up a caller. We've got Sean from Australia. Sean, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you, Will. How you going?
Hey, I'm doing fine. What have you got on your mind this morning?
Okay, you were talking about what's being taught to the college students. Am I not mistaken there?
That's correct.
Okay, well, I've got an excerpt from Michael Dazarian's Atlantis Alien Visitation and Genetic Manipulation. Now, the excerpt says, in our dreams, we have limitless resources and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hands. That was said by a representative of the Rockefeller General Education Board. Now, it goes on to say, impotent and jaded, we will remain until we awaken from our comatose state and get connected to our own sovereign power again. The Holy Grail that will take the scales from our eyes is nothing more than realizing and changing the perspective dynamics detailed above. To emphasize this point, another illustration may be in order. In the game of chess, the most powerful piece, the king, has in fact the most restricted mobility. He can only move one square at a time in any direction, but it is not his adversary who imposes the said restrictions, but the members of his own court. His very defenders impede his range of movement and action. The message and lesson here should be self-evident. Are we not kings? Regardless of how he has misused power and freedom, the human is still regent of the earth and the known universe. Our commitment and resolve is contained not by an adversary, alien or other, as much as by our own ineptitude. It is our strategies or lack of them that hinder resolution. What do you think about that, Will?
Powerful, really powerful stuff. And it's so true, you know, the idea of sovereignty, you know, we're getting that bounced around now where the government is starting to claim sovereignty. But the idea of sovereignty, ultimate power, ultimate strength, mobility there being extremely restricted in the king in a chess game, some of the more powerful players being the rook, the knight, the bishop, those are real strong, sweeping, rapid moves that can be made. But the idea of advancing sovereignty, the sovereign, the king, you know, the queen is so powerful in all of that, and there should be no mistake about why the queen is so powerful in that. But this idea is that the king moves one step, one step, one step. He can move in any direction one step at a time, but he has to be surrounded by this court in action in order to be effective. But it does fall back to strategy. How are we going to move forward, Sean? What are we going to do instead of sitting back in fear and wringing our handkerchiefs and, like I like to say, getting all swept up in symptomology and victimology? What are we planning? What is our strategy? What is our step-by-step move into greater and greater freedom?
Well, I don't think there's any one direct answer, to be honest. I think that everybody needs their own solution to what's going on here in the New World Order, and especially when it comes to education, as you were talking about, Will. When it comes to education and how our children are being educated, every parent needs to, and every person in college has to have their own solution to it. For starters, we're being led to believe that the education system is leading us in the right direction. That's not true at all. There's another part here, Will, where it says, the task we set before ourselves is a beautiful ore to train these people as we find them to a perfectly ideal life, just as they are. So we will organize our children into a little community and teach them to do in a perfect way the things their fathers and mothers are doing in an imperfect way in the home, in the shop, and on the farm. Now that was also said by the same person, the representative of the Rockefeller Education Board. I think that people need their own solutions. However, I'm not so sure that there is one huge solution.
Well, I agree with that. I don't think there's going to be one huge solution, largely, Sean, because we're in this game where there are so many players on the board that we're going to have to keep our eyes peeled as everything moves around. You don't ever know when the queen is going to come out of no place and just nail you, you know. So that's true.
Absolutely.
What the Rockefellers there are intimating basically just goes back to the idea of the ghettos, you know, when the Jews cloister themselves in ghettos, their children were not going out for education. Their children were being educated in yeshiva. If you look at the church, in the Catholic Church, there's a parochial school for the Catholic children to attend. We're now starting to see all across America a move towards homeschooling and a return once again to private education, because we can see that through this socialization process in the schools, the children are being turned out to be these perfect little drones that the Rockefeller alluded to. But what they do, the strategy they follow, is that their children are not indoctrinated in this way. Now, we can see that some just don't make it, like Jorge Bush, you know, no matter no matter how high his education possibilities were, he didn't see, none of it seemed to wear off on him. But, you know, when we look at the things, opportunities for the future, things that we can be doing, we adopt the same. If we can understand the strategies that have been used to destroy us and to take those to heart and bring them into our own sphere, then we can use them to reverse the power. And so what I'm looking at right here locally, Sean, is we've got several homeschooled children who are bright. Their eyes are shiny, if you will. They see well. They can see they live, and so on and so forth. So what we're trying to do with them is to help them to position themselves in the system so that they can work inside the system just like those who came and embedded in the American system in the roll-up between World War I and World War II that have ultimately brought us down.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, one of the most powerful weapons are not found in nuclear warfare. They're found in inserting their own power into the political system and becoming the power. And that's sort of what we need to do, Will. We need to take back what is rightfully ours as human beings and insert ourselves, get intelligent with all of this information and insert ourselves back into political power, that political power that they took away from us, but that political power that we realized is not a dictatorship, but more so a vote of the people. We need to be inserted back into that political power, us the people, rather than just this one governing body that has become what I believe to be a dictatorship.
Absolutely, and it's a global dictatorship. And so all of the stuff that I've studied and whatnot, it's like so many boards or planks that's in my head. And if I just carry this around with me all the time, then I just kind of like a lumberhead, if you will, to use an analogy. But if we can take our knowledge and combine it with action, then we can be powerful. You want to hang on there?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we're back right here on Become Vocal Local, and we're joined also, we're getting real international here. We've got Sean on from Australia. We also have John on from Canada. John, are you with us?
Absolutely, yes.
Great. Questions, comments, ideas? Go ahead. Jump in.
Sure. Well, I would just add to what Sean was saying. You know, our authority is being usurped, there is we can reclaim our rights by just understanding a lot of what freedom means as it pertains to the standing laws that are on the books currently. AIG, well, here's a good example. The day before Obama spoke on Jay Leno, Ben Stein was on Larry King, and Ben Stein had commented that he was reading the New York Times, and they were revealing that AIG had sent messages to congressmen that if they didn't get their bailout money, they would run the company into the ground. And Ben Stein stated to remind ourselves that that's called extortion, and it's highly illegal, you know, and this is the thing. I mean, the subprime scams, these are criminal frauds. You know, they tell somebody we're going to lower your payments, refinance with Wachovia, for example, and then in 2 years your payments double. They foreclose on that property. We had balloon mortgages. They get ex-cons. They say, hey, you want to live in a multi-million dollar mansion? And the con says, well, wow, really? How much do I got to pay for that? Nothing. You don't have to give us a cent. Just live here for a little while, then we're going to foreclose on it, and we're going to, you know, they're going to all of a sudden own a multi-million dollar mansion that they put zero down for, and that's called fraud. It's all kinds of fraud. There's a huge list of different kinds of violations of law that they're broken that are not being enforced. Congressmen are taking cash bribes. You guys call it lobbying, but it's a cash bribe. I mean, they're openly taking cash bribes from these thieves, and as a consequence, no congressmen that I'm aware of are demanding justice now. I mean, the TARP funds, is just no matter where you look regarding these banking shenanigans, it's another fraud after another fraud. We have the woman, the chairwoman who's responsible for government oversight over how this TARP money is being divvied up, and she was suspicious. She thought something. She doesn't sound like a person who's really on top of everything, and that's just the kind of person they wanted there. But she felt kind of suspicious and decided to bring in an independent auditor to figure out what's actually going on. The independent auditor comes in, looks at the books, and finds out for every dollar that America's being suckered, just on the TARP funds, you're only receiving 60 cents back in what you're purchasing. So they're committing another fraud. And this was on Rachel Maddow, but yet it comes and goes. Nobody says, hey, call the cops. What do you mean you're only getting 60 cents for every dollar? It's another fraud. It's all right. It's just failures, leadership all over the place. And we can't.
And John, it's a global thing. It's not just localized. Sean, any comment on that? Are you still with us, Sean? No, Sean's dropped. Okay, yeah. Well, let me comment on that, John. Have you ever read anything at all by Leo Strauss?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Leo Strauss, yeah.
Okay, I have a book in my library that was written by Shadi Adruri. I haven't read, other than excerpts out of her book, I haven't read any of his original writings. But her summary in all of this and his direction is twofold. One of them is a city of speech. In other words, we call this a city, or we call this a state, or we call this a nation, or we call this the United Nations, or we call this the G20 or the IMF, only in speech. It's in speech alone. And then the corollary is that it's a city of crime. So what he was basically teaching, and Wolfowitz and Crystal and others were adherents if her research was correct and my understanding is proper, there are many adherents that came out of this school from Leo Strauss's teaching at the University of Chicago. He was one of the various emigres that were swept up out of Europe in the roll-up between World War One and World War Two, brought to the United States for safety, much like after the war where we had the rat lines, you know. But they were brought here, and he taught. And so what I'm seeing is a fulfillment of this concept of a city in crime. In other words, everything goes, it's a big casino, it's okay to steal, it's okay to steal from the people, rob, rape, pillage, get away with it, have a good time, or as, who was that clown, Aleister Crowley, do as thou wilt, for it is the whole of the law.
Yeah, a philosophy of criminality, and these guys profess it proudly. Nazism is the best word I have tip of my tongue, but I'm sure, you know, they belong in a class amongst themselves as let's say demons. I mean, they're just there to victimize ourselves, and that's our failures in language. I mean, the World Bank have a charter. It says we're never going to hurt anybody. Any investment we do is for the benefit of the community or the populace that we're working with. Well, that's not what happens. They just constantly run us into the ground like they did in India. I mean, the people who work at the World Bank, like, they have a requirement. You got to make an assessment whether this is an effective thing to invest with. The people who work at the World Bank said, this is terrible, detrimental to the people of India. You're going to destroy entire little cities. Like, hundreds of thousands of people are going to be flooded out and displaced, and you're benefiting nobody. But guess what? They went ahead with it because one of the World Bankers was the guy who owned the big tracts of land for a sugarcane factory, and he figured having this dam here would benefit his private takes. He doesn't care about the public. It's always exploiting the public who's always left undefended. I mean, we have this with Bush closing investigations on 9/11 immediately and then saying if we disagree with him, we're the terrorists. Well, how are we supposed to form our own conclusions? You know, he demands that we try to form our own conclusions. We're terrorists. No, but there's nobody there. That's what I'm saying, my friend. There's nobody there to speak in our interests. Even the people that we say are, like, you know, and I don't want to criticize those guys, I guess. But, I mean, you know, people say, well, Ron Paul, he's okay. Well, Ron Paul's not demanding justice anywhere, really. You know, he's talking about stuff and things, but we need justice, and it's not that difficult. Like I say, what soldier in the entire nation of America is going to side against supporting the arrest of those who actually did us wrong on 9/11? I mean, he closed investigations. Let's say Bin Laden did do it. Fine. Don't you believe he might have added some accessories to the crime? You know, like, this is the thing, the nature of language and the nature of justice we can reclaim as our own. If we, you know, if we get over our fears and understand how some of these scams are going down, like, it's Ben Stein on Larry King is what I would say. You know,
let me jump in, though, John, and bring it down locally. Let's bring it down to a slightly smaller scale, a more compact scale. I like to think locally. Yeah. Become vocal local, because when we deal with Larry King or Jeff, I don't know, I don't watch television, but when we deal with all of the celebrity talking heads and things like that, and the various politicians, what we basically are, we're huge, we have a huge step removed. And I have another caller in the wing, so I'm going to need to move along. But we have, we're set up in a situation where we're many steps removed. But if we look locally and understand how this political system actually is structured, we can go in right at the foundation. And any place we can find a crack, any place we can find a weak link, we can stick in our wedge and start tapping right there and make a difference. Now back to the language thing, that came in, and largely in my opinion, through August Comte and his system of logical positivism. That was picked up by Rudolf Carnap and Ayers and others. And what they basically did was they agreed that language will be a game. And all of the words in the game are simply symbols. And they only mean something as symbols inside of a language game. And then they write a meta language or a language about a language that they know only amongst themselves. And so it's like a bunch of Arabs in a sandstorm, everybody nodding and winking, you know, as the sand blows around. But they know what the words mean. They know what democracy means, advancing democracy. And what I try and do on this broadcast is to cut through that logical positivism, give the meta language so that we understand the words, and then take it out into the community and use it against them. Hey, I've got to let you go, John. Great call. Do call again. Let me go to the next caller now. Okay, so let me bring that one up. Trying to self-produce this. Hello, caller. Are you there? 205.
Yes,
How you going, Will? It's me again.
Come on back in.
Sorry about that, Will. Yeah, what happens is it's very strange. Every time I start quoting Michael Tazarian, all of a sudden I get cut off the internet here. Very strange indeed. I mean, Josh Reeves had Michael Tazarian on his show, and they were getting cut off left, right, and centre. It seems that Mr. Tazarian must know something that somebody is afraid of. Now, I just wanted to leave one last quote with you. One last excerpt. I think you're coming to a break. I can hear the bumper.
Right on top of it. Stay right with there. We'll be back.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org or Broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back cruising into the last half hour of today's two-hour broadcast. The international call-in number, folks, is 866-841-1065. And you can use that number as John from Canada. Great call, John. And Sean from Australia. And Sean's back with us again. Sean, more ideas from Tazarian?
Yes, that's correct. And I'll make it quick, Will, because I know that you've got a show to do here. One last excerpt from Michael Tazarian's Atlantis book here. It says, "The main reason why the underclass was extended the privilege of education was to prevent their uprising and the miasma of the post-war era. After the First World War, there was a great social unrest among the people and the youth in particular. This was felt in the upper echelons. Millions were dead and millions had suffered. Cities were devastated and economies were shattered. The future was uncertain and the vision of the past had changed forever. The comrade-less hero returned to find that little had changed when it came to daily existence. Now, if you like some good books, here's a reference from Michael Tazarian. It says, "See or read, to serve them all my days. Oh, what a lovely war. Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner, The Cinder Pass, and the poem The Motorbike by Ted Hughes." So I would dare say check those out. It also comes back to education, so on and so forth. I will, and thanks so much for taking my call. I really do appreciate it.
Hey, great information and good links too. And folks, if you missed those books, I couldn't get them written down either. I'll go back and listen to the archives and write them down. But there are many, many writers out there that point to so many of the truths. And certainly, I was trying to find it, flipping through this one book that I'd like to go to. Maybe we'll get there in this broadcast, A.V. Dicey, where he talks about the fact that it wasn't until the 1820s, I think it was, and I couldn't find the exact spot to begin reading, but it wasn't until about the 1820s that public education came into England. And, you know, we've talked about education here in the past, but if you look at public education as a gratuitous, a free, open public education, gratuitous in the United States and all of the several states, even if you pick up the quotations from Thomas Jefferson where he says, you don't take away the people's liberty and their freedom and all that, you lighten their self-interest through education. There are many different ways we can look at this, but the idea of public education is you're like walking barefooted on the upturned edge of Occam's razor. It's a very simple idea, teach the people. But at the same time, we need to have control of those schools because, as I've mentioned before, go back to Bertram Schaffner's work and the ICD right after World War II. I gave you the quotes, the powerful, potent quotes there that show beyond a shadow of a doubt that the design was to come in and try and determine at what point in a young child's life do we intervene to tear out of them their customs, their all of the things that made the German people strong and industrious and prosperous as people. At what stage do we get in and start to work with a young person's life? Do we interrupt them at kindergarten? Do we get them when they're in their parents' arms? Or before that, do we go to the parents and twist their minds first? And so we're multi-generations removed now from that time period of the 1913s and the 1914 and then in the world wars, the depressions and all of that, and then this free speech movement and the hippies and the yippies and the yuppies and the Leo Straussian neocons, city of speech, a city of crime. And what we're seeing today around us is that it's all fraud. You know, suppressio viri, a legal maxim, the suppression of truth is itself a fraud. Even the media system is a running fraud on the people. We live in a world gone mad, insane children and adolescents running the asylum. So anyway, going back to this, we can, point up what John was saying, there are things we can do, folks, and we can do it on a local level. But we can do nothing if we don't act upon the things that we learn. Having all of this information like info sponges, you know, having all of this information, if we don't apply it locally, right where we are, then it's just, we could have well just continued to, you know, work on our blacksmith shops or build cabinets or make violins or whatever, bake cakes, change baby diapers, do whatever we would ordinarily do. But for whatever reason, and I believe there's a reason, for whatever reason you, the listeners, are listening to this network today, this morning, there's a reason for it, whether you recognize it or not. There's something peculiar about you. You're drawn to the truth, like a moth to the flame. And there's a reason for you to have that truth. There are things that you can be doing right where you are to alter the course of the next 100 years in this 21st century. I like to think that we could be successful moving us into greater and greater measures of freedom and further away from tyranny, despotism, and all of these various frauds. But it's not going to happen osmotically, by osmosis. It's only going to happen if we actually take action and make it happen. If we wean ourselves from the Kool-Aid, if you will, and break away from that chain of bondage and start to work. It's like the white armband crowd, the slaves in an uprising, so to speak. All of a sudden, the slaves become the intellectuals of the new generation. And they're able to reason better on their feet. They're better orators. They have a better forensic understanding than those in positions of power. And we take them on at the local level and we defeat them and humiliate them in front of their peers. We discredit their arguments and shred their spurious science in public, in front of their peers. And then they are powerless. And we replace them. Government abhors a vacuum. It's not enough. It's not sufficient to just destroy. You have to have a replacement set in hand. And so we become that replacement set. So let's go back in and study a little bit more about the nature and the function of pressure groups. And if we have time, briefly, we'll get into this idea of law and public opinion. These work together. These are companion studies. I also have the story of law here. Maybe we'll have to hold that until tomorrow. John Maxey Zane, a very interesting book. But let's go back into this right here. Political parties, again, and pressure groups are both unofficial agencies. Are they unofficial? Are they unofficial? Do you have to register your pressure group? Yes. Yes, you do. Check the laws. Go to the state election laws, for instance, your Secretary of State's website, and look at your election laws for your area. Study them. Read through them. It won't take very long. And look at how the political party system is given place in law. And that when you, in your group, start to advance political agendas, then you become a political pressure group or a political action group, and then you have to register. You have to make disclosures. Then you have to go into their system. It's all set up boy, girl, boy, girl. Whether you like it or not, it's a sex discrimination thing, as opposed to merit, who will hold what offices, etc. It's all laid out in the statutes. And if we understand that system, then we can penetrate that system, but we cannot if we don't understand it. So political parties and pressure groups are both unofficial agencies here. Our textbook writers have written, but I disagree. My research tells me something other than that. And then he says, but they differ on other grounds. Yes, and they differ on other grounds as well. The current practice of regarding, quote, unquote, political interest groups simply as more neutral ways of saying pressure groups is therefore highly misleading, is it? Let's go into it further. The former concept includes the latter and a lot more too, such as political parties. For example, a political interest group involves a, quote, shared attitude toward what is needed or what is wanted in a given situation. So we go back to the meetup groups, the meetup phenomena that spread across the country. And all of a sudden there was these other people that were coming in trying to get the meetup groups to take on political coloration, if you will. Very dangerous, because the meetup groups were not being advised that if they went that way, if they started receiving funds from the Ron Paul Presidential Campaign Committee, that they would in fact become a political party committees, and then they would have to go through all of the reporting, their contributions and things like that would all have to be reported. They would have to have a boy-girl structure at the leader in a leadership position. They would have to file disclosure documents with the Secretary of State. So when that move came in, why the serpent? I just simply said, no way. We're not going to get into bed with that demon. We'll just stay independent. So anyway, we'll be back on the other side and go into the pressure groups a little further. Stay with me.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth a thousand keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And we've returned on the last segment of today's broadcast. Again, we're deep into this concept of pressure groups and public relations and how all of this is impacting us right where we are. Understanding that, yes, we are all individuals and individually from the standpoint of writing a blog or doing a radio broadcast or setting up a micro broadcaster or working independently and individually somewhere, we can have impact. But let's also understand the strength of working in numbers, the strength of a group. There's a lot of strength in it, but you've got to be so careful because every effort will be made to infiltrate and to take over your group through funding, through change agents, through, even the foundations perhaps. The more successful you become, the more likely it is that someone will be trying to overthrow you. So I like to look at it from the standpoint of a local voting precinct group. No other title, no other organizational structure, no secret handshake, nonpartisan, non-denominational. The only thing that we have in common is that we all live in the same voting precinct and we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore, if you follow my drift. And we're looking at truth as opposed to a bunch of nonsense. And we're embracing political realism and understanding that no matter, as I say, how long or how deep or how wide these various economic tsunamis artificially created as they truly are, no matter how long they last on the other side, there's still going to be government. You take it to the bank. I guarantee it. And so we're either going to be ruled by a system, or we will simply make that system our own. We will be that system. Here, this is from William Blake. Many of you may have read him. A lot of you like mysticism and that sort of stuff. If you want a real mystical writer, read William Blake. He was way out there, 1757 to 1827. But this is what Blake said along this line. He says, I must create a system or be enslaved by another man's. I will not reason and compare. My business is to create. And so this speaks a little bit to what I think many of the hosts on Oracle address, is that rather than simply reasoning and comparing with this existing broken system, our business is to create. Our business is to create the system of government for the 21st century. And I would like to think that the most powerful and direct and quickest route is from the bottom up, not the top down. All too often in my lifetime, we've had one gladiator after the next, or a Perot, or a Buchanan, or a Ron Paul, or a Bob Barr, or any of those guys. They're offered from the top, the gladiators. And the gladiators go out on the field, and they go as far as they can, and then they exhaust themselves, their money, and then they collapse on the field. And it so disheartens their followers, and it creates so much angst amongst the people that they all fall asleep again for 4 years, and they only come back out and rally behind the new gladiator once every 4 years. I'm here to tell you that the election calendar never stops. 2 days ago, we had an election right here. And to my own shame, our local mayor ran unopposed and wasn't replaced by one of our choosing. There are things we can be doing on a local level. I can hardly wait to get the election returns to see if any of our other candidates were successful, but nevertheless, anytime someone is running unopposed, that's the time to get in place. If we understand the calendar, if we know when we need to declare our candidacy, if we don't miss that declaration date, there's usually a window of 5 to 7 days, maybe 2 weeks, that you have to put your name on a piece of paper and say, me, I'm going to run for that office. I'll take that post. And then you get in there. And that's where you need the power of these local voting precinct groups to help you run and win those elections. On a small local election like this, there's only one voting precinct in this town. And a strong, active local voting precinct group could easily have replaced the mayor. And you see where you can start to have a little bit of power locally? The mayor has the call as to whether or not we have a police department or not. Right now, we don't have one for financial reasons. I'd like to see it stay that way. How would you like to go to bed every night knowing that there isn't a cop in town? Thank God for that. You see, we start to cut the bonds with the mommy state right where we are. There are things we can do. Let's go back to this article in the last moments here. A political interest group involves, again, shared attitudes towards what is needed or what is wanted in a given situation. We want freedom, and we want it now. This is as true for the Democrats as it is for the AMA, the American Medical Association. Notice how the authors confuse the young student here. The Democrats, a political party, with the American Medical Association. But then he goes on, he says, the Democrats want to win elections, and the AMA wants to block government health insurance. Is there any truth in that? Is that an outright lie in a college textbook? Continuing here, there are members within each group who share attitudes on what is needed. Moreover, a political interest group, quote, makes certain claims upon other groups in the society, and we talked about that. Robbing Peter to pay Paul, making claims on other groups in the society. Thus, the Democrats demand the loyalty of voters, and the AMA claims support from pharmacists, patients, and physicians. They either go along with what the dictate of the American Medical Association is, or they're blackballed. We may regard both the political party and the pressure group as political interest groups. but we must also recognize that they differ enough to require distinct labels. And he goes on into it further here. The purpose of the pressure group is to influence specific policies rather than to achieve control over the government as a whole. Do I have to say it 1,000 times? How can we possibly continue having groups like the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and the Libertarian Party and the Constitution Party and the Green Party and the Communist Party and the Socialist Party all outwardly claiming, striving, declaring that they hope to have total control over the government? This is a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government and does not need political parties. We don't need the middleman. We don't need the mediator. We don't need to get on our knees and beg to some intermediate agent. This is our government, and these are our representatives, and this representative comes from my voting precinct. And we know him, we trust him, we've checked him out, we've verified him, and we're going to follow him. We're not going to go to sleep. We know this person, and we stand behind him. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. Instead of having the political parties pick the wooden cutouts, the little cardboard dummies for us and put them up on an advertising campaign, we choose. There's a difference. We choose without the middleman. That way it's based upon merit, upon their ability to serve, on their capacity to do that job. And we're looking for people who are not going into politics as a career move, but as a temporary segue. Not looking for lifelong benefits and advanced medical care and things like that. No. They're there to represent the people. One of these days soon I'll drag out the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences again and I'll read that article, the section of the article under constituencies, where it tells beyond a shadow of a doubt that as early as the 1770s, in England, there was already a decision, a common understanding, that Parliament no longer represented their constituencies. They represented, basically, the parties. And that carries till today. You're not represented in Washington. You're not represented in your state house. And too often, you're not even represented in your courthouse, or in your local county council or your local city council. No representation. They're not advancing your interest. They're advancing the global agenda. They're advancing the political party's interest. They're protecting their own, even if they have to eat your children to do it. And these are things that we can change. And they can be changed in 2010 and 2012, and major revisions can occur between now and then. But we've got to get on base. We've got to get on that chessboard. We have to move our position, our pieces into position. Yes, the king only moves one step at a time, folks. And if you happen to be a rook, you can take him down. We'll be back again tomorrow. And until then, have a great afternoon.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.